Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of Plugged In, a Post Media podcast taking you down Canada's electric vehicle highway. I'm your host, Andrew McCready. If you're a regular reader of driving.ca, you probably saw a recent story I wrote on my first-hand experience of wireless charging a Volvo in Sweden. It was, as I chronicled in the piece, a revelation. For the past year, 20 Volvo XC40 recharge taxicabs have been using 4 wireless charge pads embedded in the ground at taxi stands in the Gothenburg Green City Zone. On this week's episode, we're speaking with the Chief Product Officer of Pennsylvania-based Induct EV, the company that has teamed with Volvo on this real-world proof-of-product test program, and a company that is leading force in wireless charging of electric vehicles. Tony Calabro has been at the forefront of the EV revolution, with a career spanning groundbreaking ventures in robotics, wireless vehicle charging, and software. His resume includes software engineering roles at Humanistic Robotics and Lockheed Martin prior to joining Induct EV. He holds a BSE in computer engineering from Case Western Reserve University and an MS in computer engineering from Virginia Tech. Thanks very much for joining us today, Tony.
Hey, good afternoon.
So before we delve into the fascinating and fantastical technology that is wireless charging, I'd like to know, what was the first electric vehicle you ever drove?
Oh, I drove a Tesla Model S, I think, back in 2013.
Okay, early days.
In the early days, yep. One of those early experiences where somebody let me drive one and you couldn't even get the pedal to the ground. One of those amazing experiences where you're like, wow, this is really going to happen.
So were you already on the course for electric vehicle technology, or was that kind of an epiphany of sorts saying, you know, this, I have to be involved in this world?
Oh, not at all for myself. It was definitely an epiphany. You know, I wasn't even tracking the industry at all. And, you know, somebody let me get in the car and drive it, and I was just shocked. It was amazing. It just blew me away.
Yeah, I think most people, it's kind of like once you've driven one and then you get back in a gas car, it's even if it's a beautiful gas car, it's just not the same. It seems so unrefined.
Exactly. Yeah. Just the technology and the drive is completely different.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we're going to talk about something that is a technology that kind of blew my mind in last month. That's wireless charging. And you and the company you work for, Induct EV, are kind of at the forefront of this. Let's just get right to it. What is it and how does it work?
Great. Okay, so wireless charging. We build 75 kilowatt capable wireless charging pads. For the most part, it is a resonant air gap transformer. So we put a charging pad on the vehicle and we put a charging pad on the ground. Inside the vehicle, we look just like a DC fast charger. So we're just delivering the amount of power and current as requested by the vehicle. And on the ground station side, we're generating a high frequency AC current into that coil. That is being picked up and rectified on the vehicle. So from a vehicle perspective, we look like a general DC fast charger. And on the ground station side, we can put chargers in the roadway, out of the way, with no moving parts.
So many of my listeners, if not all of them, are very familiar with wireless charging in that they put their smartphone on a pad, you know, in their house or in their car, and it charges. What's unique to this is there's a gap. I believe it's 15 centimeters or yep, something to that effect.
Yeah. So comparing with your phone will give you about 5 watts of energy, maybe 10 if you got a really good charger. And needless to say, there still is an air gap there. It just really is enclosed by the case and everything else on your system. We're doing that about 10,000 times more powerful. And like you said, with about a 15 centimeter air gap between the two pads. And it really just comes down to the size of the pads and the coupling. It's just a well-designed system that resonates, and it's a transformer, so we can deliver that power through very efficiently.
So how much energy is required to do this? I mean, I'm trying to get my head around the energy, the electricity is coming up from the pad, getting picked up by the pad on the car, but what is drawing it? I mean, I'm trying to get my head around how that is, because when you don't have the pad there, it's not like there's energy or electricity seeping out of the pad. It obviously is activated when the car pad connects with it.
Exactly. Yeah. So what we have is we have a communication system built into the pads as well, very similar to what's happening on your phone. So when a vehicle pulls over the charging pad, we do unique vehicle identification. We know who that vehicle is and if they're allowed to charge or not. We go through an alignment process to make sure they are safely coupled between the ground station and the vehicle pad. And then as soon as that vehicle enables our charging sequence, we flip on the power on the ground station side and regulate the energy throughput. And we're only going to deliver as much as the vehicle asks for. Okay. But like you said, in a normal scenario, there is no power going through that pad. It's only once that vehicle is pulled over and we run through all of our safety checks.
And things like inclement weather, snow, rain has no bearing. I mean, can you pull onto this pad with water on it and it's still going to work?
Yeah, that's the best part. The system is fully sealed. We have no bearings with weather, snow, ice, dirt, grime, salt, or anything. We have systems running in the Nordics that get snow all day long. Generally, they don't plow up in the northwest of the U.S. as well. We can charge through 2, 3, 4, 5 inches of snow with no impact at all on efficiency or capabilities.
Yeah, it's fascinating. The one thing that the gentleman who gave us the demonstration mentioned is the only kryptonite, if you will, for this, if there's a piece of metal or something on the pad.
Yes. Yeah. So the one thing with magnetic fields is we will heat up metal objects. So one thing we do is we provide an object detection system with the vehicles for that safety critical aspect. We want to make sure that there is nothing in the way that is going to cause any safety or interference with the magnetic field itself. But if there is, we will indicate that to the driver and they can go off and either move the vehicle off the pad or adjust if they need to.
Okay. So one thing I did notice where I was a taxi stand, I guess, and it had two pads. And then probably, 20 meters away, 25 meters, there was a big box that obviously was the power source for these. So what's the relationship between the pads and that?
Yeah, so we have a power electronics cabinet that can sit 100 feet away from the two pads in the ground. That's doing, at this time, it's doing really the heavy lifting. So it's taking in 400 or 483 phase in from the grid, doing the conversion into that high frequency AC, which is run out to the pads.
How efficient is wireless charging compared to a hardwired connection?
The nice thing is, it's if you look at the power electronics and the end-to-end, whether you're talking DC charging, AC charging, or wireless, we all have the same components. There is actually an isolation transformer in almost all of your charging systems, whether it be AC or DC. For us, that isolation transformer just happens to be the air gap. So we get 90% efficiency end to end. So going from 480 in the grid all the way out to your vehicle battery, we can get that 90% to get you charged completely.
It's incredible. I mean, it really is. In the story I wrote, I had mentioned that in 5-6 years ago in Yokohama at the Nissan R&D facility, they had a pad, but they really didn't tell us anything about it. And I was expecting them to tell us how it worked. They didn't. Last year I was at Volkswagen's Tennessee battery lab and they had one outside, but they didn't really get into details. So I was becoming so skeptical about this. And that's why I say this experience last month confirmed that this actually works, and it seems to work, with a 90% efficiency is, better than I would have ever expected. It's amazing technology.
Yes, it is absolutely amazing technology. It's been a very exciting journey through all of our development cycles to get to where we are today. And we're excited to accelerate that as well into full scale commercial adoption.
So, some of my listeners might be familiar with this idea of this electrified highway or roadway where you've got kind of an embedded charger and you drive over it and it charges while you go. Is this, would that adapt the same kind of technology? Is it same, the same kind of philosophy behind it?
Yep. From a primary understanding. So that's called dynamic charging. That's when you can be charging wirelessly while you're driving. We've been focused primarily on static charging, which is charging while you're stationary.
Right.
Conceptually, it's the same from a fundamental physics standpoint. It's the same. There are some, you know, different infrastructure requirements for whether you're doing dynamic or static charging.
So what's the biggest challenge for wireless charging? I mean, what you guys have you know, you have proof of concept, obviously. I mean, what's the challenge moving forward?
The challenge is going to be gaining adoption and from the cost standpoint, you know, so as initial deployments, we're really trying to rapidly bring down the cost so it is feasible for mass market adoption. Second case is bringing into the home eventually as well. So right now we're focused really on commercial fleets. So high utilization vehicles that need high power charging. So we can continue to expand our capabilities into high power and low power. Using the same system out in public as you would use at home. And it's really that being able to adopt the paradigm of charging in the background. So we don't want you to focus on just going to plug your vehicle in, but we want you to not have to think about when you're charging and why, but you're always picking up energy wherever you go.
Yeah, which is so clever in the taxi cab world. These guys maybe sit for 5 minutes and, you know, pick up a fare and away they go again at a cab stand. And it just seems the perfect technology as opposed to, you know, plugging in or, you know, the inefficiency of trying to find a charger and plugging in or back at home base. It just seems like the perfect situation for cabs.
Exactly. We like to say we give you unlimited range, right? You're charging in the background, you're charging doing your daily operations that you would be doing anyway, and you don't need to take yourself out of your operations to go charge your vehicle. You can continually charge, yep, and run all day long.
I see like things like ambulances in these vehicles that just sit for a bit and then they're off again. So the adaptation in the real world just seems almost endless.
Exactly. And any place you see a vehicle sitting in a queue or sitting in a line somewhere is a perfect place for them to be picking up charge.
Okay, we're going to take a break here and we're going to be right back. And we're back with Tony. So as I mentioned in the introduction, I had the chance to experience wireless charging in the real world environment in Sweden in a Volvo XC40 Recharge. Your company, Induct EV, is working with Volvo in this technology. How did that relationship come about?
Well, we were actually approached initially by Fordham in Oslo looking for a wireless charging taxi project. So we were working directly with them and we brought Volvo into the mix there. We did expand that into two cities. So we do have a system out in Oslo and a system in Gothenburg and Volvo jumped right on it. You know, being an innovative company looking at new technologies, they were really interested in the potential partnerships and the capabilities for their fleet vehicles. So we're really glad that they were a willing partner for us to take a chance on a new technology.
So what vehicles before this, what mules, if you will, were you using in your kind of in-house testing? I mean, I'm assuming you had this ready to go when you teamed up with Volvo.
Yeah, so historically we've been working on heavy-duty transit vehicles. So it's actually the same system we've been commercially deployed with for almost 6 years now. We do transit buses across the U.S. In Indianapolis, Martha's Vineyard, Link Transit, with a number of the major bus OEMs. But it's the same system and the same pad that's running those transit buses is the same thing running on these commercial taxi vehicles.
So are the buses kind of at their home base being charged, or do you have them out and about on streets and things?
They are charging on route also. So generally in the transit world, they'll run a half hour or hour loop with maybe a 5 to 10 minute layover at the end to catch up on their scheduled time. We're same concept. We put chargers at that end spot where they can sit for about 5 minutes and then they can run all day long with unlimited range.
So what's the plan with the Volvo test? I know they've been running for about a year, I believe 20 cabs. I mean, is there an expansion of that or is it kind of proof of concept already and just hopefully, as you say, commercialize this now?
Yeah, so we've been running for about a year with, as far as we can tell, great success across the, or, you know, across everybody between cab online in the taxis, with Volvo cars, with Gothenburg Energy and everybody in the region. We are looking to expand that into more vehicles and more cities. I don't have anything I can confirm or deny in the near term, okay. But we do think it is a perfect model for taxi electrification across Europe.
And you think North America also, or is it, are we kind of behind Europe a few years?
I'd say we're behind Europe a few years, but we do hope to bring it to the U.S. as well.
Yeah. Well, I hope you bring it to Canada too, because I think it's and as you say, it's climate averse or inverse, so it would work just as well up here.
Absolutely. Yep.
So when you talk about cost, I mean, obviously these are experimental things. What kind of cost are you guys? I mean, what would this add to a vehicle, let's say? I mean, do you have numbers on that, or is that something that's still, because it is a test, that's not really worth talking about?
Yeah, it's probably not something worth talking about right now. I mean, our target cost is in line with the price that the vehicles are paying for the plugs that are already on there. So it is a cost that's baked into the vehicle today that you don't realize, but our target is to be directly in line with that. And we do price our ground stations accordingly next to a comparable DC fast charger. So we are looking from both an infrastructure and a vehicle side to be cost comparison with your DC fast charge infrastructure. But we do bring a lot of benefits there between distributed charging, which is going to reduce your overall cost of getting a wireless charging system.
Right. And one thing we haven't talked about is the car system has a camera at the bottom, because obviously, as you mentioned, lining up the pads on both the car and the ground is integral to the charge. So my cab driver, actually, when we did the real world thing, missed it the first time, so we had to go back. But that's some hardware that would have to be installed too, is that bottom camera.
Yeah. So we actually, in some of our OEMs, we use the 360 views that already exist. And then we provide alignment feedback through what's called low power excitation. So we can generate a small magnetic field and look for that feedback once a vehicle is paired. So that way we're giving a good coupling feedback to over the CAN bus to the vehicle, which could then be used for automated parking assist capabilities. So that way it should be able to actually autonomously park the vehicle right on top of the charger without having to do anything extra.
So what other wireless charging applications do you envision in the mobility sector? You mentioned buses, obviously cabs. I mean, could you see e-bikes doing this? I mean, it seems limitless what you can charge this way.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, anything where you have a plug today could be done wirelessly. There's tons of options between bikes and scooters and honestly, forklifts and golf carts. Our major focus as a business is expanding into ports and logistics. So yard trucks, yard tractors, drayage vehicles, any kind of high utilization vehicles that need the uptime that something like charging in the background can bring.
Right. Forklifts, things like that.
Yep.
So InductEV as a company, you're obviously, you know, doing a lot of R&D and things, but at the end of the day, are you also, you know, offering to put these pads in commercially? I mean, are you working with a third party to build this out, or is it all you guys doing this?
No. So we have third party infrastructure partners. So ones who will put systems in the ground for you. We do work directly with the OEMs to get pads on vehicles, because we do want to guarantee the success of the system once it's installed in your fleet. But yeah, we're a small company. We can't do this all ourselves. So we have partners across all different aspects, from maintenance, warranty, service, installation, integrations, and deployments.
Okay. So just one final question for you. So, you know, in your bio and things, it talks about you're obviously well-spoken and you go to a lot of conferences. You talk about infrastructure. Obviously, that is, especially in the public realm, that is the one thing that's, I won't say holding EV adoption back, but that's the biggest challenge, it seems. Where are we now, and what needs to be done, do you think, to kind of get it really going?
Well, I think at least from the wireless side, it's a paradigm shift. When you think plugs, right, everybody wants to go and plug either at home or at work. And we want you to be charging anywhere you're going, where you don't have to think about it. So I think the infrastructure piece is going to be the major one over the next 5 to 10 years to gain adoption. And as we continue to grow in the wireless realm, we do think this is really going to help people to not have such range anxiety and can really just charge in the background wherever they go.
Right. And this idea of garage orphans, right? If you live in an apartment building and you don't have a carport or a garage, if they're just, you know, on the side streets, and everybody can use them, it's not proprietary just to your vehicle, then it seems like a great solution.
Exactly. Right. Just no infrastructure, pads in the ground, nothing to break, nothing to wear and tear, nothing to steal. Very simple solutions to be able to have electrification accelerate.
Right. And the Volvo, let's say, if you had this system, let's say on a VW ID4, the pad isn't exclusive to Volvo. It works on whatever vehicle you could drive over it.
Exactly. Yep. It's fully interoperable across all the OEMs. So to that vehicle side, we look like the DC fast charger. To the ground station side, we do a handshake and a communication that allows the vehicle to go through an identification and then the charging process.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thanks very much for the chat today, Tony. It's amazing things you and Induct EV are working on. And I know my listeners love kind of the tech side of things, and I'm sure they enjoyed this show. So thanks again.
Yeah, this has been fantastic. It's been a great time for me as well. Thank you for having me.
Tony Calabro is the Chief Product Officer at Induct EV and a much sought-after authority on all facets of the electric vehicle ecosystem. Well, that was a very interesting discussion. The biggest takeaway for me is that wireless charging is 90% as efficient as a hardwired, plugged-in connection. Given that there is a 14-centimeter gap between the roadway pad and the vehicle pad, I would have expected much more power leakage in the process of charging. Very cool technology, and one with obvious applications in the coming years. As Tony noted, fleets are the obvious first adopters, but it's very easy to imagine wireless charging at public parking lots and public roads. That's it for this episode. Thanks very much to my guest Tony Calabro, my exceptional producer Adam Foster, and you for joining me on another electrifying journey down the EV highway. We always welcome your comments and criticisms via email at pluggedin@postmedia.com. For your dose of all things automotive, including up-to-date information on new EVs in Canada, be sure to check out driving.ca, where you'll find the best in breaking news, videos, and reviews. And be sure to subscribe to Plugged In wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. That way you'll never miss an episode, and you'll also be able to listen to past episodes. And also check out the other three great driving.ca podcasts: The Driving Podcast with Lorraine Sommerfeld, Truck Guy with Matthew Guy, and David Booth's The Motormouth Podcast. Thanks as always for listening.